No, thank you so much. I love that. I love how, like, Jesus always seems to line things up so well, and we try really hard to keep some continuity, but man, that was pretty good. I like that. Well, good morning, everybody. My name is Jesse. I am the interim pastor here at Northgate Community Church. All right, and just as Lizzie set it up so perfectly, we started a sermon series last week called Fruits of the Spirit. Boom, right up there. And so it's really interesting, and I'm really excited about this because we got some folks lined up to speak their heart and their way that they see these fruits of the Spirit coming in the next several weeks. So again, you're going to want to show up for the next couple weeks. It's going to be awesome. But today, we're going to talk about joy. And I think it was really interesting that we can distinguish spiritual, that it's important that we distinguish spiritual gifts from fruits of the Spirit. So for instance, fruits of the Spirit is a sign that we are maturing in Christ, right? So it's a little different than, say, spiritual gifts, which are gifts that are bestowed upon us, upon the Holy Spirit. So say if you're somebody who's really administrative, you kind of live into that gift. Or say if you're somebody who is preaching or teaching or discerning, lean into that gift. You're not necessarily the best administrator, but you could definitely preach and teach. The fruits of the Spirit, we can't opt out of those. All right, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. Did I get them all right? Selfishness. I'll remember that one next time. We can't necessarily opt out of those. I can't wake up tomorrow morning and be like, man, I'm just not going to practice love today, right? Or I can't wake up tomorrow and be like, you know, I think I'm not going to practice self-control. No, for the fruits of the Spirit, it's a sign that we are maturing in Christ. And it's really interesting about this idea of fruit. Fun fact about Jesse, for about 7 years of my teenage life, I actually worked in an orchard, specifically a peach orchard. And there's something that's really interesting about maturing fruit in these orchards. Peaches, I don't know if you know, if you're familiar with how fruit grows, they grow on trees. Right? Shouldn't be a huge shocker. Peaches don't grow big and sweet all by themselves. Is this mic on? No, it's off. Okay, cool. Let's make sure. Peaches don't grow just that way by themselves. They require a little bit of pruning. In fact, we would have, I think there was probably like 50 peach trees on this property, and we'd have to set up a ladder and trim the branches. And if there's a cluster of peaches, I'd have to take out, if there's 5 peaches growing on this tiny little branch, I have to take 4 of them out just to leave the one. Because what that process is, it takes all those nutrients, the sap from all the other branches, and puts them into that one fruit. Because sure, we could get 5 peaches, but they'd probably be like this big. But when we thin the fruit out a little bit, we get one big peach that's super duper delicious. And that's what these spiritual gifts are teaching us. It's that there's some pruning and thinning that needs to happen in our lives. Another way of saying this is the fruits of the Spirit is an internal transformation of our soul so our lives can be glorified to God and be an encouragement to others. Just like what Lizzie said, when we have that joy, it spills over into the world. So that's what we're talking about today. And I'm super, it's pretty awesome. Lizzie nailed it right on the head. Joy is not necessarily happiness. It's perfect. Things that make Jesse happy, La Costa burritos. Amen. Preach it. La Costa burritos make me happy, but you know what? La Costa burritos only last for 5 minutes. They go down really quickly, right? And then I get indigestion and heartburn afterwards. You know, it's a gift that keeps on giving. No. Not even video games. Video games only just really make me happy. It's not really a joy type of thing. Heck, even if my kids clean their rooms without asking me, that's not even really joy. That's a miracle. Amen. And we're not even talking about miracles today. We're talking about joy. But joy is not necessarily happiness. Joy is a deeper awareness of gratitude. The things that are in our lives that we don't sometimes see, that sometimes we just kind of gloss over, and we kind of miss that moment. One of the ways that, for me, that I miss gratitude a lot is simply just going to the grocery store. I go to Winco in Tracy. I have to drive 20 minutes to get affordable groceries in the valley. And during the pandemic, well, we are in the pandemic, during the early days of the pandemic, in order to get into my favorite grocery store, I had to wait around a corner because they were only letting so many people into the store. Now, I don't know if you know this about Jesse here. I'm one of these folks that loves to beat his personal record for grocery shopping. I get in, I know exactly where I'm going, and I get out, and I go, boom, 42 minutes and 7 seconds. I bet I could beat that next time. But standing in that line, and in those early days, if you remember, kind of similar today, we're like, man, do I stay 6 feet, 8 feet away? I mean, I usually am like a 10-foot person. I mean, like, do not get 6 feet close to me. So here I am just finally getting in this grocery store, doing my shopping, and there's all kinds of people in there, and it's just kind of a mess. And I'm kind of losing the point of why I'm going grocery shopping. And it's not until the very end when I go grocery shopping that I get to finally see the part where Jesus says, hey, man, maybe you should slow down a little bit and see the things that are around you. And simply seeing the receipt of the groceries that I was able to purchase slowed me down just enough to go and say, man, Jesus, thank you for allowing me to have money to purchase these groceries. Who cares if I had to wait in the line? I didn't beat my personal record for getting in and out of the grocery store, but I could be grateful for the ability to pay for my groceries. And that, for me, having that awareness brings joy into my life. Again, it's a deeper awareness of gratitude. See, for me, it also shifts this idea of I have to go grocery shopping versus I get to go grocery shopping, right? Oh, one more. There we go. Simply changing that attitude in my own head helps me shift and view my life in the situations that I'm in into seeing the joy that's all around me. See, if I have to do something, it's kind of begrudgingly. It's like, man, I got to do this dumb grocery shopping again and wear this mask that I can't breathe through, and do I wear gloves? I don't know. Can I touch the cereal and put it back? Do I have to buy the knockoff Cheerios because I touched it? I just don't know. But if I get to go grocery shopping, it's a little more positive, right? I could actually be in the moment and see the people that are around me. I could be able to see the blessings of being able to even get to Winco in Tracy, being thankful for things like my car and my gas, for my wife who could stay home with the kids while I go out into the wild. Because Winco's crazy. Being able to change my mindset from have to get to shifts how I see joy in my life. Colossians 3:17 reads this, and whatever you do in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. That same man who I worked in the orchard for, he was also my boss for the window cleaning business that he ran. And every single day, before we would go and work, we'd pray, and then he'd always say, work heartily unto the Lord and not unto man. Every single day. Because I don't know if you know anything about window cleaning. It is very monotonous, very boring. You go up and down, up and down, wipe around. It's three steps. And you got to do that for each and every window all the time. And it's really easy to take a shortcut because we get paid per job, and the faster we can get out of there, the more money we can make. But no, we could slow down and be like, no, I'm doing this work not because of Bill or Sally paying us. It's because we're working unto the Lord, because giving thanks to him, doing everything in the name of the Lord, we're doing all things, all monotonous tasks for the Lord. A.W. Tozer reiterates it by saying, if God gives you a few more years, remember, it's not yours. Your time must honor God. Your home must honor God. Your activity must honor God. And everything you do must honor God. Now, maybe you work a job that, like, you really just don't like going to, right? The boss is a jerk, you know? You live in your cubicle, and you don't see anybody else. But if we change our attitude from have to get to, maybe we could begin to see some joy in those situations. Maybe that changed how we operate and how we serve in our workplaces. Let's even take family, for example. Family conversations are great now, right? I could just say Trump, and we could all have many opinions. And some of us don't want to engage in those conversations. Some of us are really passionate about it. But how can we begin to bring joy into some of that reconciliation? What does it look like to bring some joy and balance into the lives of our family? Because I've heard stories where I don't want to go to Bill's house because all he wants to do is how he loves or hates Trump or how these masks don't or do nothing. No, that's stealing some of that joy away from our families, from our relationships. See, based off this passage in Colossians and this A.W. Tozer quote, opportunities to find joy are all around us, and they need to be discovered. They're all around us. Our life situations can be redeemed to get that fulfilling joy. Now again, La Costa burritos, amen, bring a lot of great joy. But there are a lot of things in our lives that block us from receiving the joy that Jesus says can make us complete. Challenge question number one is, what thinning of the fruit needs to happen so you can experience joy? What are the things in our lives that are blocking us from producing 5 decently sized, sort of sweet peaches to 1 giant, juicy peach? What are those things that are blocking us? One of the things that I was doing some research on, just this idea of just hopelessness blocks that. Not having hope in this situation blocks that ability to have that true and complete joy. Things like discouragement, any of you ever been discouraged before, right? That is something that blocks that joy, that blocks that calling, that leading of the Spirit. Maybe there's habits in our lives that block that fruit. And I think for me, the biggest one that seems to block this fruit is this idea of cynicism or just being negative, right? You see a situation and you just go automatically to the negative side. And I struggle with that. I struggle with that, honestly, folks, in the church. And that's not good. But if we live our lives through seeing a lens of cynicism, hopelessness, or discouragement, I mean, we're not going to be able to get that complete joy that Jesus has for us. I want to go ahead and read for us John chapter 15. Come to find out, Jesus talks a lot about this idea of thinning fruit and finding joy. John 15 reads like this: I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Every branch in me that does not produce fruit, he removes, and he prunes every branch that produces fruit so that it will produce more fruit. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I in you. Just as a branch is unable to produce fruit by itself unless it remains on the vine, neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit, because you could do nothing without me. And if anyone does not remain in me, he is thrown aside like a branch, and he withers. They gather them, throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you want, and it will be done. My Father is glorified by this, that you produce much fruit and prove to be my disciples. So what thinning of the fruit needs to happen in our lives to produce that great joy? I love this John chapter 15 verse. And he sums it up like this. He says, I have told you these things so that you, that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. Again, burritos, new bicycles, donuts. I use food a lot. I guess food brings me happiness. That's the only thing that comes to mind. Those things are only so gonna, not only am I gonna have high cholesterol, but I'm also is only a fleeting feeling. We need to be able to find those things in our lives that bring us joy. You know, if you have kids or grandkids, just having them, like, hang around, I think is something that brings joy. I know my kids are young, but they're, like, practically their own people at this point. They're doing their own thing, even at a young age. Simply having that quality time with them. One of the things I love doing with my wife is driving over to Austin's Coffee before 2 o'clock, because that's what time they close. Get there before they close. Those little car rides that we drive to and back, sure, we can get coffee here in town, but the drive is really what matters. The conversation is really what matters. Those are the things that bring joy into my life. And repetition, doing it often. We also like to do yoga, and that's also a fun little date night thing that we like to do. Again, discovering joy is work. And last, brothers and sisters in Christ, this world needs some joy. It needs a lot of it. And the world is looking to us for that answer. They're looking at how we're responding. Everybody's always looking, and the world's looking at us. And how we respond matters. So we need to be the joy in the world, because that's what we're called to do. So let me go ahead and pray for us as we exit today. Let's go ahead and pray. So Jesus, again, thank you so much for today. Thank you for this group of people. Thank you for the work that you're continuing to do amongst our congregation and our city, Lord. We just celebrate. In fact, Lord, it's interesting that the idea of joy even means celebration, like cause for celebration. Today, Lord, we get to celebrate lives of our brothers and sisters here. Lord, I pray that as we leave today, that the joy that we have in our lives would just spill out into our friends and community, Lord. We just pray that you would make that joy complete and known to everybody. So, Father, I just thank you so much. Thank you so much for all the work that's happening. We just pray this in your name. Amen. All right, folks, nothing brings us joy like sweet treats. And there are a bunch of sweet treats to honor Jim Roche this morning. So on your way out, be sure to grab yourself a little treat. God bless you all, and we'll see you all next week. Thank you.